Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I've just gone 7:49 Central African time at the time of the morning, where you join us on Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmed Parak. Ahmed, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning, Ahmed?
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, shafa. It is a cool Sunday morning with a little bit of rain still coming down. But alhamdulillah, this is Allah's rahmat is coming down upon us to wash all our sins, shafa.
Well, I tell you, it's more like a London weather. That brother from London said, Ahmed is describing my London weather there, or the weather in Liverpool. They say, look there, it's so cold. And the nasheed that Ma was playing just now. And I was just thinking, Ahmed, you know, who was your mother's pet? I mean, you were your father's pet also. Was it you or Abdul Qadir, your brother? I knew him as Bikey at school. And, they called you, you were known as a top soccer writer as Monroe. But who was your mother's pet? You or Bikey, Ahmed?
Bikey was definitely my mother's pet. You know, he was always a blue-eyed boy for my mother.
Hey, Bikey, you heard it. Hey, Bikey, you know what? Bikey always says, Shafat, where's Ahmed's recording? Where's Ahmed's podcast? I want it. And he, you know, he'll hound me till I give it to him. So he loves you as a brother. Yeah. So Bikey, Ahmed told you straight. Ahmed, what's the latest on the cuff and duffin side of things?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, it's been quiet. This week we had two major ones. That was one on last week, Sunday. We had a bike, one of my very good friend who delivers fabric to my factory, Imtiaz, who was with a biking club. They were going to Moy River and he hit a pothole and he broke his neck and he passed away. And we managed to get the postmortem done late afternoon. Alhamdulillah, we had he was buried on that same evening, Sunday night. And then we had Mohsin. You must be heard of Mohsin RB. He was cleaning his gun and he had one bullet in his chamber and that gun went off and he was shot on the face. So I managed to get that postmortem the next day. Alhamdulillah, he was also buried. And then we had one matter on last week, Saturday, that there was a young female from Chatsworth, which we had to get a postmortem done urgently as well. So we had three unnatural cases this week. And alhamdulillah, we managed to get everyone sorted out quick as possible and managed to bury them. Alhamdulillah, Allah give them all Jannatul Firdaus, Shabbat.
Ameen, Asuma, Ameen. And, you know, what we don't talk about is COVID had such a negative impact on people. And, I remember talking to you earlier yesterday, and you're talking about people succumbing to weaknesses and a lot of suicide cases coming through. Talk to us about that and how can you conscientize the Ummah of some telltale signs for them to look out, especially when youngsters are, unfortunately succumbing to this dangerous, whispering of shaitan.
Shabbat, I've always maintained and I've been always speaking to all the alims as well as the Sunni Jamatul Ulama, the Jamatul Ulama, KZN, as well as Darul Ihsan. I work closely with Mufti Bayat Sabte. And then I've been always saying two things we need to be always speak about is one, counseling before marriage, and the other one is after death. And then people, they're taking it this very, very lightly and it's not happening at the moment. I think this is a very, very important topic to be talking about it. I'll give you one scenario when Mufti Bayat was the president of the KZN Jamatul Ulama. At that 1 year when I was the chairman of the Islamic Burial Council, we had 38 suicide cases in one calendar year. And I went to them and I said to them, do me a favor, talk about suicide in every single masjid to say that, the rate of suicide, it is haram for suicide. What is the implications and everything? And when we spoke to the full executive of the Jamaatul Ulama at that time, there was maybe plus minus about 30 other ulamas there. They said, no, you know, I don't think we'll be able to speak about it because it might have a ripple effect. So I said to them, okay, if that is the case, then you leave me with no option, but I have to do what I have to do to make sure to curtail these numbers down. And I have to go on press, radio, whatever. And I want to make it clear that I brought it to your people's attention, and you all did nothing about it. So they said to me, okay, fine, give us about 10 minutes. Let us have a mashura among ourselves, and we'll call you back in 10 minutes. So I went and sat in another office, and they called me back in 10 minutes. They say, okay, fine, we concede to your proposal, and we have earmarked a date for one Jummah in all the masjid under the auspices of Jamaatul Ulama, and the other Sunni Jamaatul Ulama did the same too. And Shafat, you won't believe it, they spoke, every masjid spoke about the same topic, suicide, what is the ruling in terms of suicide is, you know, some ulamas, the alim is not even allowed to perform the janaza namaz. You have to bury the person in the outskirts. There's a whole lot of this. It's a topic on its own. And you won't believe it. After they have spoken, I sent my delegation through all the various masjid just to see if they are speaking about the same topic. And alhamdulillah, we got a report back. The following year, we only had from 38 only two suicide cases. Because what you speak from the member on a Jummah, and that because of the, you only got between 25 and 30 minutes to talk on, and they talk on issues of what is happening on the ground, it makes a huge difference, Shafar. That's where the you know, anything in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything was said from the member, and it has a big impact on the community, and they go back and tell the family, you know, what I heard today in the masjid. So this is a very important factor we're talking about, Shafat.
Yeah, I'm looking at the message on the screen. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafa'at and Ahmad Parak. I'm really enjoying the program. I want to know from Ahmad that there's so many people drowning. How long before the body decomposes in the sea? When do you give up searching for the body? Ahmad, how do you respond to that query?
Shafat, first and foremost, in especially seawater, you get pool water, you got chlorine, but in sea, depending on how long the body stays, and the odor after that is very, very severe. Now, in most cases, we have got, and the government, the South African Police Department, SAPS, has got a rescue, sea and rescue team. And I remember once I had to go to Hazelmere Dam. And a good friend of mine, his son drowned that day on a Sunday. He went on windsurfing, and the wind picked up, and he hit the, when he came down into the water, there was a rock there, and he hit the rock, and we couldn't find his body that whole late Sunday afternoon. It was, we tried the whole practically till about 10 at night without any luck. The next day, I managed to get the sea and rescue from Ladysmith. They come with a dog with a rubber duck. Shafat, you won't believe this. They went onto the two officers went onto it with the dog, and it pointed to the place where the body was. By about 11:30, we managed to get the body out. Because it stayed in water because that was a dam. So, you know, there was not so much of damage to the body. But we managed to get the body out, and then we sent it for postmortem. So, but in sea, even in high sea, if you take that dog there, you'll be able to identify where the body is. How that, you know, how Allah has made it in a dog where it got senses and it can pick up the smell with all the sea salt. Yet it can pick up. I've seen plenty over the last 30 years. I've been doing this work, and they have, we have assisted families and all, where we pull the bodies out from sea as well as dams and rivers.
I tell you, Ahmad, you really, you know, have seen it all when it comes to kafan dafan, oceans, and you see, and you know, people burnt in fires and all that. You know, you're really a fascinating human being, Ahmad. You're an asset to the Ummah. And I'm so glad that, you know, we get you to come and document all those stories on air. And Allah bless you for that, Ahmad. And, you know, they say, do you feel sometimes that you've been set up by Allah or you were set up by Allah to do all this work, Ahmad?
You know, I always make dua. Allah has actually blessed me in everything, Shafat. Anything I go and do, and I do it, you do it sincerely, and it happens, Shafat. You know, everything I touch, you know, when I formed Islamic Burial Council in 1998, the elders told me, no, this guy is wasting his time. Why would he want to take it away from the municipality and run the cemetery, and they were doing it for free, this, that, and all that? He's not going to succeed. And I proved them wrong there too, Shafat. Anything, alhamdulillah, I have won 3 or 4 constitutional high court cases in the land, and it's already documented in the law books. So alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to go and do this work, Shafat.
Yeah, just gone 8:03 Central African time. Listening to what's happening in Pakistan, Ahmad, what do you think of that? I mean, he won 15 of the 15 of the 20 seats there in Punjab, and still. Hey, what's going on there, Ahmad?
They're making sure, because of the American influence they have there and because of money, this is what they're doing. But they want to pay the price. Eventually, the price they are going to pay very, very dearly, because at the end of the day, you must understand, the Americans want that place to be they don't want it to be run as a proper country there, because that's where because the allies around it is going to be a big threat to the American regime. Therefore, they don't want to making sure that our learned friend Imran Khan don't come into power again. That's what is happening. But there will be an uprising there, and that is going to come very, very soon. And then they will be thrown out.
Well, Ahmad, from Imran Khan, then Pakistan, we're coming down here to our Itikweni. I noticed that Gumede declines the nomination as ANC treasurer in KZN. And it goes on to say, Itikweni regional chairperson Zandile Gumede, chances of being part of the powerful top five in KwaZulu-Natal have been dashed. She has been she has had to decline her nomination for provisional treasurer due to her party's step-aside rule. Accepting nomination would have been viewed as undermining the NEC decision. And so what happened in the conference? Are they still, I believe, Sishle Zikalala is no more the top man. Talk to us, Ahmad.
Shabbat, you know, the ANC movement has got major, major, major problems. And you'll see there's a new group they call the Taliban. They have taken power at the moment. Dube has come in to have the new chief in the province. So, you know, they are cleaning it up. But this is all a window dressing, you see, Shafat, because end of the day, the credibility of the ANC has gone to the dogs at the moment. Nobody is interested in the ANC. They know what is happening. Even their own people, the star wards of the ANC, they are saying, you know what, if they're lucky, they will get the 50%. They're not going to get the 50% in the 2024 election. And that's it. The only time they can beat the system is when they go and bribe the people, especially the informal settlement, where they go and give them big hamper, grocery hampers and everything else just 2-3 days before the election. That's the only way they will win, and they get the numbers behind them to make sure. And especially when it comes to KZN and Shafat, they will do whatever it is. You'll see a lot of lives being lost in this 2024 election coming. You can have the best security system. You can have the best intelligence, the army. You will still find people's lives will be lost because they want to make sure they want to retain KZN. They're not going to give, especially in KZN. This is the biggest region in the 9 province of the ANC, and they want to make sure that they want to hold on to each other.
Well, Ahmad, there's something that's disturbing. I think even the DA has made a big noise about this. You know, Transnet will not be responding to the takeover of the company's accommodation hostel in Montclair, Durban. Some flood victims say that the provincial government is playing games with their lives. They have been living in community halls since the April deadly floods, which left a trail of destruction and hundreds dead. But you still find these people are living in community hall, and as I said, in Montclair, in Transnet buildings and so forth. What game is Itikweni or the provincial government playing with? Not even the ratepayers. They have these people living in well-developed suburbs, Ahmad.
Shabbat, firstly, we were offered R1 billion from the national treasury to assist the flood victims in KZN, number one. Then we have offers from the provincial government to assist to the Itikweni municipality. We have got our budget of 55 million that came into effect from the 1st of July. But that money is not enough, because you must understand there were 17 of the reservoirs, all the reservoirs. Before I went into government in the 1st of November, there was from the 17, only 3 was working, Shabbat. And I said at that time, if that 3 stop working, what will happen? The entire city will come to a standstill. And you won't believe it. I went and spoke, you know, for my 3 months in council. I gave few lectures in some of the masjid in Durban and surrounding. And I, the very first, what Babu Sufi approached me and he says, you know what, you're in government for 3 months, come and tell the community and in Juma Bayan, your 3 months in council, what is happening. And I gave them the information, like what I'm saying on radio this morning. 3 was working from the 17th. And you won't believe it. After I've spoken about it, less than 4 weeks, then we had the devastating floods that came through KZN. And people from the masjid said, you know what, the man came and pre-warned us about all these things. See what is happening. And you know, Shafat, I went through all 9 departments in the council, all the major departments, roads, sanitation, water, electricity, you name it, park. I went and saw who are the guys, you know, because you need to get to know the people who is the supervisor, the manager, the operations manager, the people who go and do the work, how the systems work, how they send the vehicle, how it's been reported, and when action is taken after the report has been submitted, what is the problem that they are facing in council in terms of part, vehicles, all that. When I went and saw everything, Shafat, I had a picture. It took me almost 2 weeks to go from department to department. And I've got the whole picture, and I came and made notes of everything. Then I said, you know what, to myself, this thing is not going to work, because they have got something like 600 vehicles that is at the moment in the workshop. From the 30, they got 39 tankers, water tankers. Shafat, you won't believe it. 18 is in workshop. How are you going to service Tongat? Tongat needs about, 10 or 12 tankers per day. And then you've got 111 wards in the whole city. How are you going to service all these people? As you say, the people are living in the halls from the 12th. What is our duty and what is the council's duty? They are supposed to have done something very, very quickly to remove those people, give them housing, where they came out from. Sort their lives out. You can't keep them there, because there's women and children in one hall. You cannot keep them there. It's not human. So this is what we are taking it up in the council meeting on Thursday. This is what it's already in our agenda. I was reading it this morning, and I'm just making highlights of all these things, what we have to speak about. But the thing is, Shabbat, we can speak to them. Their hands are tied. There is no money. Absolutely, there is no money unless we get some couple of billions from national or internationally to fix the city up. That's where our biggest problem is. That's where, you know, I feel sorry for those people. And some of these people, you know, in the beginning, everybody was giving food. And as you said previously too, people are getting enough food in the halls and all that. But now they're not getting, you know, you can give 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 1 month. After that, your hands are tied as well.
Absolutely, Ahmad. As you said, the giving of food or the feeding of people is left to humanitarian organizations, and the government is not coming and feeding these people. And, you know, it's sad indeed, because and sometimes you find these people that are living in civic centers or in town halls are lounging on the roads across, you know, and like, you know what, I'm living in a 10-star hotel. I mean, how do you tackle issues like that then, Ahmad?
Shabbat, there's only thing, one thing what we have to do is make sure we have to, like if you take Spingo Beat or you take Westville Truro Hall, Westville Truro Hall was like virtually booked after COVID right till December this year. Now they have lost revenue on that hall, number one. Secondly, that it's the council's duty to make sure that those people are being relocated. And we're not doing anything because we don't have the money to do that. Now, the problem is how do you move forward? One, you might not have vehicles. Secondly, we don't have the money. Thirdly, the community is sick and tired of these people there. They're loitering on the road. They're causing problems on some of the burglaries and all are taking place. Now, we don't know them. And thirdly, fourthly, they're living in a hall that is completely women, men, women, children, everybody is living in one hall. You cannot do that in any man's language. The thing is those people should have been removed. Priority should be given to them. We can only do so much in the council. In the end, the main decision-making is the government at the city. We can only push, and then our hands are tied. There's nothing we can do. So we are still pushing for them to make sure these people are removed from those halls so those halls can come available. People want to hire those halls, at least can start getting their life in order.
Looking at this message on the screen, it says, Bru Chef, assalamu alaikum. All your programs are welcomed on Markaz Sahaba, and especially with your good chummy, Ahmad Parak. You all do a great job. Jazakallah khair for that. He says, I want to know from Ahmad Parak, Siboniso Duma was elected ANC chairperson. I know that Siboniso Duma is the new chairperson, and he's also was currently the chair of chairs in the provincial legislature. I want to know his partnership with Becky Motolo. Motolo eventually landed him at the top position in the province. I want to know from Ahmed if he knows this gentleman. And does this mean that Sishle Zikalala will be out of the equation? Ahmed, how do you respond to our brother there?
Shafat, Sishle Zikalala, days are numbered. He's out completely. There's no way he's going to. In fact, the results showed yesterday, from Friday, they've been debating it, and the results came out yesterday. And Duma is already in, and he is one of the allies of the Duma, Zuma's crowd, and he's there already. And then they came in with a new concept called the Taliban. You can see the dressing too. They're putting the scarves in their head and everything else. They came in with a new concept of Taliban, and the issue here is going to be they have divided you had the Ramaphosa's camp, you had the Zuma's camp, now is the third camp is the Taliban, and the Taliban has taken over. They completely new guys there, and I'm still saying this is a complete window dressing, because they had to do something like this just to show the community that, you know what, we meaning business. You saw we don't have any one of the old guys there. And we got new people on the block here. These are the guys that now are going to make a change to the African ANC and to South Africa. And that's what they are talking about. But this is all window dressing. End of the day, the ANC is not going to get what the numbers they're looking for. And nobody, even, you know, I went into Chatsworth and had a very, very fruitful meeting with one or two of my very close friends who are heavily in politics. And he said, Chatsworth and Queenie, the people do not want to know about ANC. They do not want to know about the DA anymore. So, you know what? So the only outside party is who? They actually say. Actually say is now we have proven we only contested six municipality, of which we in KZN alone, only three we contested, and we got 12 seats here. So that alone speaks volume for us. And we're going to go all out there, and because people want a change in the country. They want us to fix South Africa. And Herman Mashaba is the only guy, a liberal guy, who is a businessman, self-made millionaire, who knows how to run things. Shafat, he makes proper, decisive decision, and he makes the change for the betterment of this country, Shafat.
Ahmed, I'm looking at this question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. My name is Khalil. You know me well. I know more than 1,605 votes or more were cast to elect the province's top leadership. Ahmed, tell the people, what was the color of those votes? It's so sad. I want you to tell the people, what was the color of that vote?
Shafat,
how do you react to Khalil there?
Shafat, you know, when it comes to all these elections, the biggest problem that we have got at the moment is the IEC. If IEC cannot get their house in order, we want to have this problem all the time. And in the ANC conference yesterday, you know, they got their in-house people that they check on the votes and all that. How it gets rigged and all, only Allah knows. But the problem is, in our country at the moment, the issue is, first is the IEC, second is the South the SEP, the South African Police Department. These are the two major components can't get the house in order. You cannot prosecute anybody, and it goes to court, and the case gets thrown out because we don't have a proper police department where they can do proper investigation and goes to the NPA so they can prosecute that person. This is the problem we face with. And the IEC, they're dragging their feet. There's a Concord case that was already passed last year that you, an independent for this coming election can stand as an independent candidate. We say in Spingo Beach, a person want to be stand as an independent candidate for the national election. He can stand. They are dragging their feet because they know they're going to be in trouble. So people will come away from out of the ANC, the DAN is going to stand individually and he's going to be a candidate there. So they're going to take the votes away from them. That's why they're dragging their feet. They haven't implemented. But it's a constitutional court judgment. They are not doing anything about it. The issues that is in the constitution of the IEC, they don't even verify whether your ID is there, your photo is there before they even voting. So you know that voter roll is supposed to be checked three times or four times to say this is Shafat Khan, ID number so and so, his residential address is that. All verification, there's no verification, nothing. So that's where they're getting away. So this is what we are putting clamp at the moment, and we're fighting them and to say, you know what, get your house in order.
Yeah, I'm looking at another message here. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Top show indeed, Brother Shafat and Ahmed Farak, both of y'all. Keep it up. Jazakallah khair for that. He says, I want to tell Ahmed that many of our elders go to the Addington Hospital for their checkups and their medicine. But Ahmed Farak, you know what's going on there? It is the criminality. And then when we are parking, the police are worrying us. They know that we are waiting for our elderly parents and they move us out, in and out. And then what they do, instead of going for the criminals, they are going for us soft targets, giving us unnecessary fines. I want to know whether there are police officers there or punishment officers for the soft targets. Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shafaz, that issue about if you're parking, double parking there, you know that, especially at Addington, it's a very, very busy road, especially in the morning. And if you are double parking, obviously that's an offense. Now, when you bring an old person, then you have to double park. But when you double park, take the old person out of the vehicle, put them into the wheelchair or whatever it is, and send them through to the hospital is fine, and move your vehicle. Some of the people park it there, and that's where the problem is. I'm going to take it up with the director of communication, Director Sue Prasad, and in fact, send a letter through that this is the third or fourth complaint in the last couple of days I have received from last week as well. I'm going to take it up, and we're going to get a proper directive, one. Secondly, what they have done in Chatsworth, RK Khan, people don't go to the hospital to pick up the medication. There's a special day that medications are being delivered at a specific hall. And you won't believe it. The system works so beautifully, Shafat. It's unbelievable. Your name, your medication is stapled. You can't change the medication or anything. There's a register. You come there. You just sign, pick up your medication, and you're gone. That is a system that we are trying to put in Addington Hospital too. I'm busy working with that system there to find a place close by through there so the people can come and pick up the medication so then you don't have to wait half a day just for your medication. That system is working in Chatsworth with RK Khan. It can work here as well. This is the way we are looking at it at the moment, Shabbat.
I look at this question, says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. Please give us some tips on how to talk to those council clerks at Itikweni. They do as if they own the building and that we are their servants. Ahmad, give some tips to this individual here this morning.
Shafak, you know, I don't blame this brother and I don't blame that clerk as well. The clerk is undated to work, for, number one. Number two is people come out there and with the frustration, they take the frustration out on the clerk. There's nothing that poor lady or the person behind the counter can do. So a lot of people come there. You know, when you come to in the morning to work there, when you get, you know, it's work on a numbering system. When you go there, the first one, like virtually person comes there and he takes off with the clerk. Like, she made the mistake. It's not her. She's just a clerk. She's working there, and she's only logging whatever your complaints and everything else. But you take off with the left, right, and center. That poor lady's whole day is barbat. Now she and the next person come. The same thing. Everybody comes to the offices of the council. They come with, you know, like gun blazing. I don't blame them. I know there is no service delivery. I know there's a problem with their lives. I know they have been overtaxed in terms of the rate. I know that the light account is not right. The water account is not right. They only can do so much. They log it, put it onto the system. Yes, I have said over and over again, we have loaded some of the bills you'll get there. We have loaded by 20 Rand or 50 Rand. And if you take 16 million people on our system at 10 Rand, you know how much money we make a month for Mahala Shabbat. This is what it is. So people know, they compare the bill and all that, but they get frustrated. And when they come there, they have to wait like half a day before you see the clerk. By the time you see the clerk, that clerk is also... he's exhausted, and this poor brother is also exhausted, or this auntie is completely exhausted because she didn't have lunch, she's waiting, just to fix her account out. Now, that is the problem we face too. Therefore, we got satellite branches. You better go to the satellite branches, at least you'll get something done there, because where the crowds are not much there. Like what they're trying to do to the Home Affairs. All the Home Affairs in the next year or so, there won't be no more Home Affairs that will go through to the banks and all that. And you want to go online. So that might make a big difference as well.
Yeah, you're also looking at pensions and all these supermarkets are giving out pensions and no more the post office and all that. And it seems as if the government is preferring these big supermarkets. And what's the reason for that, Ahmad?
Shafak, firstly, you don't have labor problems. Secondly, you don't have electricity to pay. You don't have rental to pay. The major problem is manpower. In a department, you have 15 workers in one day. If five of them are absent, so and then the queues are there. So now you take me to the bank. Bank, they'll charge them a small fee, but then they don't have the manpower problem. They don't have labor problem. All that. It's going to be a big plus factor for the government. And in the long term, the service delivery will be much better because, you know, banks are relatively good in giving service delivery.
I tell you, Ahmad, if the union's listening to you this morning, you gave them some ideas. They say, yeah, so they're taking away jobs, eh? Or they don't want to pay extra. Yeah. When will the unions jump in here? Say, no, it's not fair what you're doing. You're sourcing jobs out, Ahmad. Your thoughts?
Shafak, you know, 16 million is dependent on the state. People are working for the government. Now, if you take those 16 million and you start chopping, they have to. They got no option in this case, Shabbat, because they don't have the money to service these departments. That's the reason you are paying rental, you're paying electricity, but you're not doing anything. So what can, you know, half the time the computers don't even work. They're offline. The whole day they're sitting, the staff is not doing anything because they're offline. Mm. So this is the problem they're going to be faced with. So either way, they have to make a decision.
Yeah, but you're making a lot of sense this morning. And as you said, that the decision has to be made. And, you know, we're gearing up for artificial intelligence, AI. And, you know, how literate are the people getting? And, you know, the point you made a few weeks ago, that you talked about, you know, empowering our community, empowering the Muslims. And, you know, you look at the Jewish community, they always look out for the youngsters, or they look out for the community people, you know, empowering them with job skills and so forth. Are we doing that, Ahmed?
Shabbat, what we're doing is, Monday I have put a team together. Architect, lawyer, advocate, electrician, plumber, IT specialist, you name it, in every different field, we got about 25 people that we will be having a meeting on Monday, just after Asaf. And this is for people that have got, they're out of school from last year, they finished matric, they couldn't go to universities or college or anything. They need to get job somewhere. We need to create something for them. So what we are saying is, we got this year, you won't believe it, Shafat. The other important thing is government schools. A lot of government schools are being redundant. These government schools are standing empty. They have got absolutely nothing there or anything. What the guys are doing is stealing the piping. They're stealing the windows. They're taking the doors out and all. So the state now, the education department is saying, you know what? Whoever is coming, whichever religious group is coming, they want to do something for empowering the people of the area. They need to do something like what we want to do, to empower the people, teach them IT, teach them electrical, teach them plumbing, teach whatever field. And we want to take these calls over. In fact, I've already made application for two. So whatever, whichever comes through, at least we know they'll give us a 30-year or 50-year lease. We'll maintain it, we'll take it over and put them there where we get the right tutors to come and teach them and place them. Now we have got a database of all the people in the plumbing, accountants, lawyers, plumbers, electricians, in different fields, architects. So we got people that we can say, right, you know what, we got a database here, send these emails to all these people. We have got already five people are ready to go into the field of work. So we'll be able to place them there. That is our aim and objective, is to get that up and going. Inshallah, in the next 2 months, we should be up and running. Inshallah. Make dua.
Inshallah. You walk the talk, Ahmed. You walk the talk. Yeah. Hey, I still see you got the spring in your step, but that's brilliant indeed. Your parting words this morning.
Shabbat, you know what, at the moment, we you know, there's so much of chaos in this country. We must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all our brothers and sisters. And the most important thing we have got in our constitution, and now they're trying to attack that right of religion, right of culture. They're trying to attack that because this is coming from the outside world, from the UK, US and all that they must take that right of culture, right of religion out of. And this is going to be a big fight we want to be taking up with the government. That is not going to happen because, you know, the Zulu got their culture. We Muslim got our culture. Everyone here in the country, it's a unique country there, you know, and especially when it comes to faith, we all stick together. So this is what we're trying to avoid, outside interference in our constitution for the right and right of culture and right of religion. So we are making sure we want to protect it to the hilt, to whenever it comes through. We are making sure that nobody attacks that day, because if that goes, then we have a problem in this country, Shabbat.
I tell you, I'm only talking about the problem, but you got a lovely hot bhajiyas on the side there, man. How about sharing it with me? Lovely, what bhajiyas? The potato bhajiyas you got?
No bhajiyas at the moment, Shabbat, but you're welcome anytime.
I thought you'd play along and say, hey, yeah, man, my wife made lovely hot bhajiyas for us. Let's have it. Ahmed, you were absolutely brilliant. Have a beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
How Ahmad Farooq, keeping us up to speed on Great Talk.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.